Good morning. It is Friday, and it's the Friday that the Quincy firefighters stop by the Mary Griffith Show. Always happy to see them walk in the door. Firefighter Brian Meyer is my guest today. And, of course, the Mary Griffith Show, powered each and every weekday morning by Refreshment Services Pepsi and Harvest Ridge Coffee. And yesterday, thanks to Pepsi, I even had a sugar-free mug root beer, and boy, was that a good treat. So I enjoyed that yesterday. Have my Harvest Ridge cup this morning. I'm ready to go. Brian Meyer is here with the Quincy Firefighters. Welcome.
Good morning, Mary.
Always glad to have you alongside. What is our topic this month? Usually every month, the fire department is concentrating on something. What is it for the month of April and maybe even May?
So we're rolling out with the Citizens Fire Academy starting on May 7th. So we're just wanting to let everybody know that you can still sign up for it. Class is starting to get full. But main thing is that just try and push out that this class is available for anybody who wants to see what the day-to-day life of a firefighter is.
Well, let's talk about that. We don't want to give the whole thing away, but the Citizens Fire Academy is open to anyone who lives in Quincy or owns property in Quincy. In other words, you support the Quincy Fire Department with your taxes. So anybody can come to the Citizens Fire Academy. How often do you meet? How long are the sessions? And do you have to go to every single one?
So it is 5 weeks. It's 5 Tuesdays in a row from May 7th to June 4th. From 6 p.m. to 9 p.m., and we like to have guaranteed that everybody shows up every night because we do build off of the previous week. So the first week, we get you in some bunker gear and get you familiar with the SCBA system that we wear to go into fires. We go over a short CPR class and kind of an overview of the fire department. And then the following week, we put you in live fire. We go down to the training facility, we light a fire off, and you get to experience all the heat and all that stuff. So if you're not there the week before, then it would be very hard to get you into the gear and all that stuff. So we really, when I get the applications in and I look at it, I want to make sure that everybody's going to be there for every week, just so that way we can build off one another, and it's just kind of a whole experience of the fire department.
15 hours, that's a lot. Not as much training as you have to go through, but that's a lot. And so it will get people very interested in knowing what that is about. The bunker gear, I have some experience with that. Unmasking the Singer from the Salvation Army is coming up here on April 26th. The first Unmasking the Singer, I was one of the singers who had to wear a costume. And they chose for me the fire department bunker gear with that big old head thing that you have a mascot. My God, that stuff is heavy and hot. I mean, it's hot to wear that because it's all insulated. Talk a little bit about the shock that the average citizen has when they put that on, because, you know, just the average person, and of course, I'm smaller than most firefighters. You know, I'm only 5'3", but you really have to have some body mass and some strength to just wear that around, much less to work in it.
Yeah, the bunker gear that we talk about, it's that coat, the pants, the boots, gloves, helmet, and hood, and all that is designed to protect us from the heat. And so part of that is it insulates us. And there's a layer of insulation that keeps us cool and keeps the heat out, and it doesn't breathe. It's watertight, so that way we're not getting any water into us and all that stuff. So it's also not letting us expel the heat by sweating. So when you go into a hot environment, it's only going to get warmer in there, get more stuffy. It's bunker gear probably weighs about 20, 30 pounds of just the bunker gear. And then you talk about our SCBA system, the big tank and mask that we wear, that's another 35 to 40 pounds. And you talk about carrying hand tools, hose lines, we can easily get into 100 pounds or more of added weight on top of our body weight alone. And the amount of stress that it puts on our body is enormous. They say that we can lose up to 30 to 40% of our regular working capacity by just putting that gear on.
you have to start in great physical shape because it's going to tear you down the minute you put that on, the longer you stay in a fire. And that's why Chief Henning implemented this mandatory breaks, because guys don't want to come off the line. They want to be the hero. They want to rescue people. They want to save property and lives. That's why they become a firefighter. But you have to take breaks every once in a while. And there's a whole group of volunteers that follow firefighters and make sure they have a cold drink, make sure they get their blood pressure tested to keep you safe if you're in an extended period. It's one thing to put the gear on and maybe be in it for 30 minutes, which would be exhausting to any of us. But if you're out on a fire call and for 3 or 4 hours, you're really steadily fighting a blaze, a big one, that's exhausting to anybody. I think that thing, if everybody could just wear that bunker gear once, their whole opinion of how hard it is to be a firefighter, because, well, they just drive to the fire, get out a hose, and turn some water on. A little bit more complicated, isn't it, Brian Meyer?
Absolutely, and that's why we've developed this class for Quincy to give citizens the opportunity to see exactly what we do, the day-to-day operations. And we go from week one of PPE, CPR, talk about our medical capabilities that Quincy has, because a lot of times people don't understand that all of us are trained to the EMT basic level, and there's a good portion of the department, and about a third of it, that is trained to the paramedic level, and we have an ALS engine, advanced life support engine, in town that has everything that the ambulances carry, including the cardiac monitor, and all the narcotics and all that stuff, so that way we can get on scene first and provide life-saving care to the citizens of Quincy. And so that's that first week. It's pretty busy night that night. And then the week two is the, like I said, the live fire behavior class, where we talk about the different stages of fire growth and how quickly that fire can spread within a house. And we put you in that fire, and you get to experience all that heat getting blasted onto you and actually understand why we have to wear that gear and why we wear that big air tank on the back and the mask and all that stuff. And the following week, week three, is probably one of my favorite weeks. It is vehicle extrication and technical rescue. So we bring in a couple junk cars. We come apart. We let everybody in the class, if they want to, get hands on our big, heavy hydraulic tools and pop doors, break windows, do all that stuff that you see in the TV shows, that they make it look so easy and it's no big deal. And then you pick up this hydraulic tool that weighs 60 pounds with a hose attached to the back. It's just like, oh, it's not that easy. And then on the other portion that night is the technical rescue side. So we're not the fire department. We are the fire department, but fire's not our only job. We're all trained and rope rescue skills, hazmat training, all that stuff. So we like to showcase those different skills that we have. So a lot of times what we'll do is we'll set up a vertical rope and rappel the students down from the top of our cans, which is about 40 or 50 feet up in the air. We'll send you over the edge, let you go all the way down to the bottom, and really showcase the different capabilities that we have. And that week, the fourth week, is fire ground activities. So not just hose line, being on that hose line. What else do we have to do at a fire scene? So we have water supply, which involves hooking up to a hydrant, connecting that to the truck. Then we have our RIT, rapid intervention team. So that's guys outside the fire that are ready to go in and rescue one of us if we get in trouble. So a lot of times you might see on a fire ground that there's, you know, a group of guys standing off to the side. They might be doing some things. Some people might say they're not doing anything at all, but they have a specific job that they are ready to go in and rescue one of us if we get in trouble. So we talk about that. We talk about ventilation. Why do we cut a hole in the roof on some fires? Why do we break out windows? And the process of doing that and how it's all a coordinated effort on a fire ground. And then we let the students go through and practice those skills, go in with the hose on, put out some fires that we set inside our burn building. So that way they actually get some hands-on training saying, hey, you know, moving a 1¾-inch line doesn't look too hard, doesn't look too heavy until you're in all that gear. You can't see where you're going. It's hot. You can't hear anything. And it's a coordinated effort. And then that fifth week is our graduation week. So we do a little ceremony. We have our burn cubes, which is probably the second coolest night. So we have a trailer that has two rooms that are sitting on top of it, just like a house. And we'll have some furniture in it, and we'll light it on fire and show exactly how fast that the fire develops, from just a small little trash can on fire to the chair on fire to the couch on fire to the whole room flashes over before we put it out, and shows that within 5-6 minutes a room goes from just a little tiny fire to fully involved, and not just that room. If it was in a house, other rooms would already be on fire by the by about that 5-6 minute mark.
It's going to be fascinating. And of course, if you're sitting there going, well, I couldn't possibly do all these things, they understand that. So if you are not capable of staying in the gear for very long, that's fine. You're a human being. You're going to learn what they do. Obviously, they're not going to be able to teach you everything they do, but you're going to get an idea of what they do. Don't be afraid if you're thinking, well, I can't do all that. No, that they're not trying to train you to be a firefighter. They're letting you into their inside world so that you can go out and tell people, well, I was going by a fire and there's three guys just standing there doing nothing. Well, those are the rescue team. In case one of the firefighters inside the building falls through into the basement or a burning timber falls on him, these guys go in and rescue him, you know. So a lot of it is just education. How can we sign up for this class?
So if you go to the Quincy Fire Department Facebook page, and there is a number of posts on there. I think we got it set up for a weekly post. And then you follow the link to a Google's form document to fill out. And then I'm right now in the process of compiling all those. And I'll send an email out to with the provided email that you guys give me. And I'll send you some information as far as some release medical release and liability release documents. Fill that out, and then I'll let you know I'll let you know where to show up on that first night.
Okay.
But like you said, we don't expect anybody to do everything, want to do everything, hands-on, all that stuff. We just want you to show up and learn a few things, keep an open mind, and if you want to get involved and get your hands on the tools, get in the fire room, really experience as much as you can, awesome. If you just want to come in and observe, that's fine too. We're going to accommodate as best we can, and we don't expect everybody to stay in the gear all night long. If you want to get in the gear and just go in the fire room for a little bit and then get out of the gear, because I understand it's uncomfortable. The gear is not the most comfortable thing in the world. But so that way, if you want to, just show up, put the gear on, get in there, and then take the gear off, and then observe the rest of the class. We're more than welcome to accommodate that.
If you want to lose weight, put on that gear and run up and down a flight of stairs holding a fire hose. We'll take a break. We come back. We're going to continue our conversation with Brian Meyer from the Quincy Fire Department. If you'd like to be part of the Citizens Fire Academy, go to the Quincy Fire Department Facebook page and sign up today. We are back. Talk Radio 930 WTAD. Brian Meyer, firefighter on duty. I don't think something's going to happen in the next 3 minutes. I think we'll be able to finish this segment of the Mary Griffith Show. We learned that the Firefighter Academy, Citizens Academy, starts May 7th, goes through June 4th. There's no cost to take that, and you just need to sign up at the Quincy Fire Department. It's on Tuesday nights from 6 to 9. Something that happens every spring, you start to flush, not all maybe, maybe all, the fire hydrants.
Yeah.
Why? Why do you have to flush them?
So we test every hydrant every year. So that involves opening up all the different openings. So we got a big 5-inch and two 2.5-inch openings. We open those up, make sure that there's seals on them, inspect the hydrant, actually, so that way there's no crack. We don't see any cracks or anything like that. Who knows if a car hit it at one point. So we test them. So that just involves opening them up, make sure they flow water, close them, and put all the caps back on. That's not the part that everybody notices, but we're out there from this spring testing every hydrant in town.
So and, every hydrant does get tested every year. Okay.
And then a select number of them in every district get flow tested. What that means is that we hook up a couple different meters and hoses up to them. We open them up and we test the pressure in those lines and make sure that they would adequately support a fire operation going on. And that's where sometimes you can get that brown colored water that some people complain about. And
it'll turn your clothes orange if you're not careful. You know, I mean, it will. I mean, it's got that rusty mineral buildup in it that you're putting that water goes out at hopefully high pressure. That's why you're flushing it, to make sure that the pressure's adequate enough.
Yep. So we do a select number, and the past couple of years we've been letting the residents know when we are doing that. We try not to do it on the weekends when it would be more likely that people are wanting to wash clothes and do the dishes and all that stuff. So we try to, we put that out through, I think, the city page, and then also the fire department.
WTAD Radio will announce it for you. Stay tuned.
So we do that every year, doing the hydrant flushing, hydrant testing operations. Also, we're doing the business inspections this time of year as well. We're starting to roll those out. So we're going into about half the businesses. It's on a two-year schedule, so every other year we visit these businesses and make, and it's for our familiarization of what the building looks like, what's in these buildings, occupancy, and stuff like that. So you'll be seeing Quincy Fire Engines out throughout the town pretty regularly doing hydrant flushing, hydrant testing, and business inspections this spring.
Okay. Well, thank you for everything you do to keep us safe. We do appreciate that. Remember, folks, if you want to learn what it's like to be a firefighter, 15 hours is not going to give you training to be a firefighter, but you're going to learn about what they have to do. Just to suit up and go is going to shock and amaze you. Go on the Quincy Fire Department Facebook page or call them, and the classes start May 7th. Thank you very much. Be safe.
All right. Thank you.
Firefighter Brian Meyer. Up next, it's Vegas McGraw, but first we'll head up to the Ursa Farmers Cooperative, see what's happening up there on the farm markets. And remember Romeo and Juliet? Guess what? It could have been Romeo and Ethel, the pirate's daughter. Go to the show and you'll figure out why.